Hey folks, how you doing? This is John Keeney and welcome to the Big Blue Unicorn Podcast, Episode 1. Today we're going to do some introductions, talk about some Missouri politics, and probably talk about some music. Let's get this thing fired up. So once again, I am John Keeney, and welcome to the Big Blue Unicorn Podcast. This is episode one. We're going to talk a little bit about who's John Keeney. That's me. We're going to talk a little bit about Missouri politics and kind of what's going on there. Kind of give you a little foundation to understand what's going on with Missouri politics. And we're probably going to talk about a little bit of music, maybe some current events. We'll see. Anyhow, if you know me at all, you know that I am seldom at a loss for words. So I figured this would be a great opportunity for me to get some of those words out. And then maybe when you see me in person, there will be less words coming out of John Keeney. I, in general, do not refer to myself in the third person, but this is a great way to start off this awesome podcast. So first of all, let's talk about who am I, why am I doing this, why am I in politics, why am I playing music, and why are you listening to this? So let's start at the beginning. I'm John Keeney. I was born and raised in St. Charles, Missouri. I'm a fifth generation Missouri native. I went to Francis Howell High School back when there was only one. I attended UMSL, the University of Missouri St. Louis, and Webster University briefly before moving to Boston, Massachusetts in 1991, and I returned to the St. Louis area in 2001. We now reside in Eureka, Missouri in 2022. So that's a really brief summation of 55 years of my life. Let's break it down real quick, though, and I'll give you an opportunity to learn a little bit more about me, kind of what brought me to where I am, and, you know, where we're going to go from here. So, as a kid growing up in St. Charles was real small. We have been out in the Franklin County area now in Eureka for quite a while. And I would say the St. Charles when I was growing up was a lot like if you were in St. Clair or Sullivan or Pacific or one of those towns out here, like I'd say a larger municipality in a rural part of Missouri. When I was younger, we lived in the middle of the St. Charles and everything behind our house was farmland until both rivers, Missouri and Mississippi. As time went on going through the 70s into the 80s, that was definitely not the case. When I came back in 2001, St. Charles County had completely transformed into something that I had never seen in that area before. Going to high school, I drove from St. Charles all the way down to Weldon Spring, where Francis Howell was, and back every day. And that was mostly farmland on a 2 or 4 lane highway. And now it is a whole different thing. I've seen a rural municipality, a rural area grow into a ginormous suburban, exurban community in my lifetime and less. So some of my interests growing up included building model airplanes. I think that was second or third grade. We'd get those World War II era model airplanes and try to paint them up real good and run around the neighborhood with our World War II airplanes doing World War II era pretend battles. Then I discovered CB radio. So that was a big deal back in the 70s, and I was the dust devil on the CB radio. From CB radio, a few years later, I got interested in ham radio, amateur radio. I had a teacher who had been an amateur radio operator like third or fourth grade. And in fifth grade, I took the government exam and got my ham radio license. So from fifth grade on there, I was doing ham radio stuff for a few years. However, I met Rick Davis, and Rick was a young man 1 year older than me who was going to the ham radio club, who was also a young ham radio operator like myself, who also played music, had a guitar, played drums. And so while our friendship started as ham radio operators, it quickly grew into being musical compadre. So Rick was my musical buddy, taught me my first chords on guitar around fifth grade. We started playing together in sixth grade when we learned some more stuff. And now 40 years later, I'm still playing music professionally. Some of my other interests around that time, of course, roller skating. We all like to go to the roller skating rink on Fridays and Saturday nights. I don't know if you remember that. that, but we go to the roller skating rink in St. Charles County. We go to La Jolla and we would play foosball and hope that some girl would want to couple skate with us. I don't think I was very lucky that very often. Believe it or not, played a lot of foosball, did a lot of skating, not so much with the couple skating. I was into music. MTV had not come around yet. Night Flight. Night Flight was a real huge thing for me as a budding musician. Came on late at night on the weekends, and I would stay up as late as I possibly could on Friday and Saturday nights to watch counterculture movies and music videos and so forth on Night Flight. And then, of course, MTV came along, and the MTV era blew up music. And by that time, I was very, very interested in playing guitar and playing in little bands and stuff. So through high school, I had played in bands since fifth grade. Played saxophone, played in the jazz band. Once I got to high school, I wanted to play guitar and bass. So I had to be in the symphonic band playing something, which was saxophone. Then it was tuba so that I could play bass and guitar in the jazz band. I was in the marching band, the symphonic band, the pep band, the jazz band, whatever band there was for me to play in high school. Coming out of high school, I went to college at the University of Missouri-St. Louis and Webster University for a little while. During that time, I was also playing gigs and touring around, and the gigging and touring took over the college until I left for Boston in 1991. While in Boston, worked a bunch of restaurant jobs and played in a lot of original bands. After being in Boston for a few years, got a crazy idea that I wanted to play an instrument called a Chapman stick. I'd seen the Chapman stick on TV played by Tony Levin of King Crimson playing the song Elephant Talk on the show Fridays, which was like Saturday Night Live. And I'll never forget seeing him play that instrument. It was a crazy looking thing. And for whatever reason, I decided I wanted to play one. So I traded in some gear at Daddy's Junkie Music in Boston and got myself my first Chapman stick. I wasn't really sure what to do with it. I'd been a bass player chiefly and a guitar player for a number of years, but the Chapman stick was based on the idea of being a bass and a guitar in the same instrument. The music that you're hearing in this podcast, the intro, and then the music after the intro is original Smokestick music that has been released and is available online, Spotify, YouTube, etc., etc. In 1995, I started the group Smokestick and started writing and producing and releasing and performing Smokestick music, in which I was singing and playing the Chapman stick. A few years later, I had the good fortune to get a war guitar, which is what I now play. A war guitar is a guitar that is designed to facilitate two-handed tapping, and that has been my main instrument ever since. St. Louis in 2001 because my child, who was born in 1988, had moved back to St. Louis, and I wanted to spend time with him at least until he was out of high school, which was 2005. Well, lo and behold, I met my now wife, Michelle, and we started seeing each other, and we've now been married for 14 years and been through a whole lot of experiences that I would have never expected to have, including getting involved in politics. I wasn't always just a musician, though. My first three jobs were at McDonald's, that was then followed by the Olive Garden, Chili's, and a variety of smaller restaurants and cafes from high school into my 20s. I have served, I have managed, I've swept floors, cleaned bathrooms, bussed tables, carried beer cases, and actually was a bouncer for a few years in a Boston venue. So my employment experience has largely been involved with the service industry, either as a performer or as someone behind the bar, at the table, at the door, or in the kitchen. And while I haven't received a W-2 in many years, I still clearly remember what it feels like to be an employee with a manager or an owner who appreciates the work and time that you put in and the ones that don't appreciate it. That's why when I say that I'm pro-worker, I really mean it. I have been an employee for many different employers as a younger man, and I appreciated those folks who were appreciative of the hard work that people put in for their businesses, often not for enough money or not enough appreciation, as well as those people who clearly do not appreciate it at all. As someone who also has to hire people, I also appreciate it when I hire someone and they show up prepared and professional and they do the job that I hired them to do without drama. I very, very much appreciate that. So a few things about the music scene that I came up in. I came up in an era when the people that you see now with El Monstero and Steve Ewing and The Urge and those folks, we're all about the same age and we were all playing the same venues back in the 80s into the 90s. So we're talking about The Landing, we're talking about Bernard's Pub, and we're talking about a bunch of other places that were scattered out throughout the county. As a young man in high school, I used to go to a place called The Animal House, which then became Club 367, I believe, and is now empty, the last I checked, up on Chambers Road in North County. But Animal House was really a proving ground for young folks that wanted to start a band and work on being performers, on being professional, on getting an audience, and getting paid, which was kind of cool too. If you like Dr. Zhivago, I remember Frankie hanging out and then doing gigs there later. If you like Guns N' Roses, you like Pale Divine, who used to be The Eyes, I used to swap sets with the band I was in with The Eyes back in the 80s. So that is the era that I came from, and a lot of really great musicians, who some of which became very successful, have come out of that scene. When I first came back to the St. Louis area, I was used to living in Boston, which had a very strong, vibrant, large original music scene. And the St. Louis scene at the time when I came back was pretty good. I was in a mode of playing original music and living in St. Charles, coming back, hooked up with some of my old people that I knew from back in the day, and met a lot of new people too. So we started a little independent label called Super God Recordings, and a number of groups and I got together and started working on recording material, doing shows, and trying to make some progress. Like with other great plans, it fizzled out over time, but I have really fond memories of working on being a successful original musician in the St. Louis area. When I lived in Boston, I spent a few years in the 90s making my living busking. When the original gigs were not as prevalent, I could go down to the subway or outside during the warm weather months and earn some money playing the Chapman Stick and singing and selling tapes and whatever else I could to people on the sidewalk and in the subways. When I first moved back to St. Louis back in 2001, I moved to the Central West End and stayed there for a few years. It was a nice place to live. It was very centrally located, but my employment at the time was in Clayton. So I decided to move to University City, and University City is where I met my first politician, and that was Maria Chappelle Nadal, who lived right across the street from me. That was my first awareness of state-level politics in my entire life. Now, during that time, I was playing music. I was playing music and I was teaching music. Lots and lots of guitar students and bass students in the mid-county area. Also during that period, I met my now wife, Michelle, at a place called Riddles that used to be down in the Loop in University City. During that time, I was a regular at Cicero's and the St. Louis Bread Company that was down there on Del Mar and all those cool Del Mar Loop places that seem to have faded away. So let's skip forward a little bit to September 23rd, 2007 at 12:03 a.m. That is the moment that my life completely changed. Because of a family crisis, my wife Michelle and I became foster providers. We became foster advocates. We learned about a whole lot of things that we were unaware of before in our lives and our efforts to help other people. Through our struggles and challenges and successes dealing with the foster system, social work agencies, healthcare providers, behavioral health providers, behavioral health facilities, etc., that motivated me to get more involved in politics to try to figure out how we can better serve people, especially children, but people in general who are vulnerable, who are needing help, and many folks who do not have a parent or a caregiver or a concerned adult that can take care of them, that can help them, that can support them, that can give them the help that they need. My wife always likes to bring this up, that when I lived in Boston, I did play in the Blue Man Group for a short while. I was a stick player in the band when they had three band members and three blue men. That was the original production in Boston. I actually got hooked up with that because my band Smokestick pretty frequently performed after the Blue Man Group performances in their bar. So we'll skip forward to today. It's September 30th, 2022, and once again, I'm running for state senate, Missouri's 26th Senate District. This is my third run for a state legislative seat. 5 years ago, I lost my mind and got involved in politics, decided that I was going to run for office because I discovered that there were no Democrats that were running for office in the area that I lived in. And I sought to change that, and I have been at least a Democrat on the ballot for the people in my area. Why am I a Democrat? I'm a Democrat because my personally held beliefs and my values are very closely matched to the Democratic platform. Now, the Democratic platform is an actual statement from the Democratic Party about where they stand on a variety of policy issues. And I agree with the Democratic Party's stances on the vast majority of what they represent. That is why I'm a Democrat. The Democratic Party doesn't tell me what to do. They don't tell me how to think. And I have no problem disagreeing with a particular policy issue if I don't agree with it. So since I am a third-time candidate, I've been through this several times before. By the way, I have never won, but we're going to talk about what I did accomplish in running these three times. Number one, living in a rural area with few Democratic candidates for these seats, I ran with very little support. I was not supported by the state party. I was not supported by the national party. That is not uncommon in this state, and I can't say that it's not uncommon around the country. But it is what it is, and it is up to the candidates largely to earn support from the voters in their district. The first time I ran for office was in 2018. I ran for state senate in Missouri's 26th Senate District. I earned over 30,000 votes. Previously, the previous Democratic challenger had earned only 13,000 votes. I earned 17,000 more votes than the previous Democratic challenger, yet that only equaled 36% of the vote in the general election. We are living in a very red area with very red political districts. The next year in 2020, I outfundraised my Republican incumbent opponent until the last few weeks of the election. I earned over 750 individual donations and I still lost 35-65. Again, where we live is a very red area in a very red state. This year, I'm running for state senate again in the new Senate District 26, which includes Eureka and four rural counties, Franklin, Warren, Gasconade, and Osage. A Democrat running for this seat will be expected to earn about 28% of the vote. So if we can pull out 35-36%, I'm going to call that a win. So let's talk a little bit about Missouri's General Assembly. Here's the makeup. First of all, 34 senators, 163 representatives. Right now, there are 10 Democratic senators. There are 24 Republican senators. There are 48 Democratic House members and 107 Republican House members. FYI, in order to pass a bill in the House, 82 votes are required. The Republicans hold a supermajority in our General Assembly and quite honestly do not need Democratic support to pass anything. If you want to talk about Missouri policy, you have to understand that Missouri policy is Republican policy. The Republicans have controlled our state legislature for 20 years and currently hold a trifecta, which means that they have a majority in the Senate, a majority in the House, as well as having a sitting Republican governor. Let's talk about political subdivisions. First of all, Missouri has 114 counties plus the city of St. Louis. We also have 8 congressional seats. We have 163 state house seats. We have 34 state senate seats. And we have 2 U.S. senators. Now, all these political positions have committees tied to them, and these committees are established by state statute. We have county committees. We have congressional district committees. We have senatorial district committees. We have legislative district committees. And we have judicial district committees. Every 2 years, the established parties in the state of Missouri hold elections to elect new officers for all these different committees. This year has been a reorganizing year, and we've been in the process of electing new officers for our county committees, congressional committees, senatorial, judicial, legislative committees, et cetera, et cetera. Our senatorial district committees will then, after the general election, elect a new slate of state committee members who represent their Senate district within the state party, in our case, the Missouri Democratic Party. The 68 newly elected state committee members will then elect new officers to lead the Missouri Democratic Party for the next 2 years. For the committees, officers will be elected for the positions of chair, vice chair, secretary, and treasurer. It's also important to point out that these committees must demonstrate gender parity, which means that the chair and vice chair and the secretary and treasurer must be represented by a man and a woman or a woman and a man. So these are some of the nuts and bolts of party politics, but let's get back to why I'm running for office, what got me into politics, and where I'm going from here. My motivation for getting into politics were the challenges that we were facing dealing with the foster system, with government agencies, with behavioral health providers, with the educational piece, be it IEPs, 504s, et cetera, et cetera. And going up the chain and talking to overworked, understaffed social workers, going to their supervisors who were also overworked and underpaid and so forth and so on, and realizing that a lot of the challenges that we faced were the result of government policy, of funding and so forth, and that the social workers and their supervisors and whoever else really didn't have the ability to help these vulnerable kids whether they wanted to or not. So once I started doing research to learn about legislation and policy, I started to realize how many intersections there are in my life of a lot of different kinds of issues in regard to governance. That includes schools, education, funding, environment, workers' issues, healthcare issues, reproductive rights, justice, and so many other issues. Missouri has a gross domestic product of $360 billion. The St. Louis region generates almost half of the state's GDP. The top 10 Missouri industries as a percentage of the state's gross domestic product are manufacturing, real estate rental and leasing, government, healthcare and social assistance, professional scientific and technical services, finance and insurance, wholesale trade, retail trade, information technology, and construction. Missouri's top employment segments overall are trade, transportation, and utilities, education, government, and professional and business services. The University of Missouri is the largest government employer in the state of Missouri. The top 10 companies by revenue in the state of Missouri are Emerson Electric, O'Reilly Automotive, Centene, Edward Jones, Reinsurance Group of America, Ameren, Evergy, Kansas City Southern, Cerner, and Stifel. Missouri has roughly 3 million workers, and the top 10 companies by employment in the state of Missouri are Walmart, the Mercy Health System, BJC Healthcare, Washington University Schools, SSM Healthcare, Boeing, St. Luke's Hospital, Cerner Corporation, the Lester E. Cox Medical System, and Schnucks. Since I promised to talk about music, here are some of the artists who inspired me over the years. I remember the first time I heard Jimi Hendrix. I remember the first time I heard Eddie Van Halen. I remember the first time I saw Prince. I remember hearing Jaco Pastorius for the first time with Weather Report. And I still listen to Stanley Clarke on his School Days album. I've been influenced by hip-hop, rock, metal, country, blues, jazz, rhythm and blues, and pretty much any kind of music that you can imagine in some way, shape, or form. I have appreciated guitar players, bass players, drummers, horn players, piano players, arrangers, writers, singers, you name it. I consider myself to be an instrumentalist first, but I also sing and I write tunes. As a musician, I perform, I produce, I write, and do pretty much anything that needs to be done to be successful as a professional musician. I've played in rock bands, I've played in country bands, I've played in dance bands, I've played in funk bands, I've played in jazz groups, I've done solo work, duo work, played on the street, played in the subway, played for 80,000 people, and played for nobody. When it comes to playing and performing music, I've pretty much done everything that you could possibly do. While nothing that I've done in the music field has made me famous, I've successfully taken care of myself and supported myself as a professional musician for well over 3 decades. I tried to make a list of some of my favorite artists, the people who inspired me the most to play music or to sing or to do anything, and I have had a really tough time putting a list together without feeling like I'm forgetting about 40,000 other people, but I'm going to try it. So here's my list for today, my top artists that I can think of who have inspired and motivated me to play music or do something. Soul Coughing, Ministry, Prince, I love Betty Davis, Jimi Hendrix, James Brown, Parliament Funkadelic, The Police, Yngwie Malmsteen, Eddie Van Halen, Alan Holdsworth, Aldo Meola, Marcus Miller, Stanley Clark, Jaco Pastorius, Sly Stone and Larry Graham, Gary Willis, King Crimson, Rush, Primus, Rage Against the Machine, The Red Hot Chili Peppers, Public Enemy, Fishbone, Method Man and the Wu-Tang Clan, Miles Davis, John Scofield, The Brecker Brothers, The Roots, Erykah Badu, Patti LaBelle, and I love Esperanza Spalding. So many more artists that I could name. As I go through my playlists in Spotify, I listen to music every day, always trying to hear something new, something I missed. I didn't know that old Cameo was so good. I didn't know that Otis Redding's kids had a band called The Reddings, which was a killer funky band. There's so much music out there to discover, and I encourage you to always be looking for something new. While I am in the midst of running for state senate in Missouri's 26th Senate District, I'm also laying down a foundation so that we can elect more Democrats in 2024. We have some very critical races coming up, including president, governor, Congress, U.S. Senate, and so forth and so on. If you want to find out more about how to get involved in Democratic politics, if you want to learn more about the process, if you're interested in running for office, feel free to contact us here at BigBlueUnicorn.com. You can also find us online everywhere at Big Blue Unicorns. You can also email us at thebigblueunicorn@gmail.com. What can you do to get involved? You could go to the Missouri Democrats website at MissouriDemocrats.org. That's the state party. You could be active in your community with your Democratic Party, your Democratic Club, or an organization that represents your values. You can identify your Democratic candidates on your ballot. You can check out your voter registration status, see what political districts you live in, and see who your statewide candidates are at the Missouri Secretary of State's office at sos.mo.gov. You can volunteer, donate, or take on a leadership position in your local or state Democratic Party, or you too can run for office in your community, county, district, or state as a Democrat. By the way, the last day for voter registration for the November 8th, 2022 election is October 12th, 2022. But also, you can vote in person absentee 2 weeks before the election at your local election authority. Thanks so much for checking out this first episode of the Big Blue Unicorn Podcast. I hope that something that we said today will help to motivate and inspire you to step up and do the work to help us flip it blue in 2022 and beyond. Hope to see you next week.